It is in the name of Jesus, the Christ, that we welcome you to this weekly program from Words of Life. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers support this broadcast with prayers and contributions because we want you to hear the gospel of Jesus. Today, using Zechariah 3, 1 through 10, Brother David Johnson will speak to us about Joshua, the high priest.
You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above.
And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Please pause with me for a short prayer. Heavenly Father, as we humble ourselves before you, we do so in recognition of your righteousness and our need for righteousness that's only through Jesus. Please use the words of this program for your glory. We pray for all who are upholding your name. We ask that you will protect them. We also pray for their health and well-being of our listeners. We are told in Psalm 122:6 that we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and this we do. Father, help us to be ready for the promised return of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brother David Johnson will now speak to us about Joshua, the high priest, using Zechariah 3, 1 through 10.
It's good to be together again as we study the Word of God and as we share its truths with others. The title for the lesson is Joshua, the High Priest. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Listen to the Word of God. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and will have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are 7 eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty. And I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty." In our text, Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, we have the fourth night vision of the prophet Zechariah in one night. This fourth vision focuses on Israel's spiritual cleansing and restoration before the Lord Almighty to be reinstated as a priestly nation. The vision itself is presented in verses 1 through 5, followed by explanation and its significance in verses 6 through 10. Before God can bless Israel, she must have a spiritual transformation. Charles Feinberg, a Jewish background Christian, who is a very fine expositor of especially Old Testament scripture, Charles Feinberg writes these words, quote, "The purpose of this vision was to restore the people's confidence in the priesthood and its service. Since they were rebuilding the temple, there was need of reassurance that God would once more own and recognize the instituted worship there. The priesthood had become polluted and the subject of condemnation in pre-elictic and elictic times, as Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26 shows." End quote. Consider Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. "Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them." End quote. To profane God is to show contempt, irreverence toward Him, in effect to be blasphemous toward the Lord Almighty. So indeed the Levitical priesthood of Israel was polluted and needed transformation toward godliness. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1. "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him." Here in Zechariah's vision we have a judicial scene. There are 5 different Joshuas recording in the Old Testament. This Joshua, Yeshua, in our text, is according to Haggai chapter 1 and verse 1, which says in part, "Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest." He is the high priest of the restoration of Israel, who came back in the first group with Zerubbabel, who was the head of the tribe of Judah at the time of the return from the Babylonian captivity, and had been entrusted by Cyrus, king of Persia, to be the governor of Judea. Ezra, consider Ezra chapter 3 and verse 2. "Then Yeshua, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and Jerubbaal, son of Shealtiel, and his associates began to build the altar of the God of Israel to sacrifice burnt offerings on it in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God." Later in Ezra chapter 5 and verse 2, "Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them." Note Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, that the angel of the Lord was possibly the pre-incarnate Messiah. Also in Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 1, Satan means accuser, standing at Joshua's right side, as according to Psalm 109 and verse 6, which says in part, "Let an accuser stand at his right side," or right hand. Evidently, it is the angel of the Lord, or the pre-incarnate Messiah, who introduces this fourth vision to Zechariah. The angel of the Lord is the advocate and defender of Israel. Likewise, Christ is the advocate defender of the church today. Charles Feinberg writes, quote, "It is necessary to point out that Joshua is here in his official and representative character, not in a personal and private capacity. The outcome of the vision will ultimately comfort Joshua too. But he is before us in his official position. This can be demonstrated from three facts. Number one, emphasis is laid on the fact that he is the high priest in verses 1, 5, and 8. Number two, the rebuke is given Satan, verse 2, on the basis of God's unchanging choice of Israel. Number three, the cleansing of Joshua is made to prefigure the removal of the iniquity of the land in verse 9, end of quote. So Satan the accuser stands in the presence of the Lord to proclaim Israel's sin and unworthiness of the Lord's mercy. Israel's hopes would either be destroyed or restored. We should understand that the Jewish remnant by this time had been born in Babylon in the 70-year exile. So there had not been much godly example nor teaching to point them to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Plus, the difficult hardships back in Judah and Jerusalem were solely testing their faith. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 2. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not the man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" The Lord said, notice, the content here seems to indicate that the Lord is the angel of the Lord, as deity, therefore the pre-incarnate Son of God. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Obviously, the Lord was not going to allow the nation of Israel to be completely destroyed, not going to cast off his people Israel forever. But instead, the Lord affirmed his covenants with Abraham and David regarding their descendants, God's people Israel. And he had chosen Israel. Notice again, Joshua the high priest was not personally chosen, but representative of Jerusalem, the capital city of his people Israel. This man, a burning stick snatched from the fire. Again, Joshua was representative of the Jewish remnant that would not be completely destroyed, but under the figure of a burning stick would be pulled out of the consuming fire to survive as a distinctive people, not totally assimilated into Babylonian culture and religion. And the Jew today is still distinctly, as today, a sovereign nation, as according to the Lord's unfolding master plan for Judah and Jerusalem. So no matter how dark, how sinister circumstances become today and into the future, God will not break his covenants, nor his promises or prophecies toward his people Israel. Moreover, regarding the Lord's church, no matter how dark or discouraging conditions will become, Jesus Christ affirmed, for example, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 in part, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Jesus Christ never breaks his promises or prophecies toward the church either. Even regarding all human beings, there is always hope, because the Lord is a God of tremendous grace and mercy. Israel deserved to be destroyed. However, God keeps his word and restored her in his grace. Again, Charles Feinberg writes, quote, "The most remarkable feature in the entire transaction is the basis upon which God brings to naught the accusation of Satan. It is not because of the righteousness of God's people, nor because of the baselessness of Satan's claims, nor because the nation has already suffered much for their sins, nor because of a promise to do better in the future. The sole plea for God's people lies in God's sovereign choice in his grace." End quote. praise God for His grace, which none of us deserve. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel." Joshua, representing Judah, was guilty of gross sin against the Lord. Under the figure of filthy clothes, this symbolized the most loathsome pollution of Judah's sin. The filth here described was the worst kind of moral defilement of the priesthood and of the people habitually before a holy God. Though outwardly delivered from Babylonian captivity, the Jewish remnant was still inwardly filthy. Today, regarding the modern nation of Israel, Jews are returning to their nation, revived outwardly, but not the vast majority of Jews who still need inward regeneration. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 4. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Those standing before him, Joshua that is, evidently would have been other angels. To understand this verse properly, we need to remember the context. Joshua the high priest here represents the returned remnant of Judah, the nation. The 70-year exile to Babylon, God's judgment on the nation has been fulfilled, completed. So God here lifted his judgment. His commitment to the preservation of his people Israel, promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to David, was affirmed. So the acquittal took the form of a removing of Joshua's filthy clothes. Notice God took all the initiative. "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you," figuratively referring here to the cleansing as forgiveness for their sin. This is the Lord's sovereign choice of grace toward the remnant of Judah and the priesthood to preserve it forward until the time when the final righteous remnant of Israel will come to repentance and faith in Jesus of Nazareth as their Messiah, Savior, and Lord. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 5. "Then I said, put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by. Evidently, Zechariah the prophet, in the midst of this vision, couldn't contain his joy and expresses his desire for the complete clothing of the high priest with a clean turban or a headdress consisting of usually a long scarf of linen, cotton, or silk wound around his head, possibly suggesting the joy of the reinstatement of the priesthood unto the Lord, also the restoration of the nation as a priestly nation. Consider Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, which says in part, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Inscribed on the turban were the words, "Holy to the Lord," as according to Exodus chapter 28 and verses 36 through 37. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says, if you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and will have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here." Remember, this was a vision given to the prophet Zechariah that he in turn would relate to Joshua the high priest and the remnant of Judah. According to Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 6, this was a charge to be given directly to Joshua. We should understand that there was no operational Levitical priesthood during the exile in Babylon. It had to be reinstated in Jerusalem. Joshua, cleansed, needed a renewal commission as high priest. Joshua also had a personal accountability and responsibility before the Lord. To govern my house and to have charge of my courts does not mean a share in the civil government. Instead, this referred to his high priestly governance and charge concerning the temple and its courts being rebuilt. This charge will not be ultimately fulfilled until the millennial temple is established and Israel has corporately received her Messiah King in repentance and faith. "And I will give you a place among these standing here." God promises Joshua that upon his faithfulness, he will have a place in heaven with the angels of God, these standing here. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 8. Your associates refers to the Levitical fellow priests who are men symbolic of things to come. That is, their priestly cleansing prefigured the future cleansing of the nation of Israel, corporately needed to come to repentant faith in Yeshua as their Messiah King. Their cleansing from sin also pointed to the coming sin remover, who was given three messianic titles, my servant, the branch, and the stone, Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 9. Their priesthood was also symbolic for the coming great high priest who would come and who would remove believers' sin once and for all. My servant, the one to come to do the will of his father, the suffering servant. The branch, who is the branch of David, Davidic descendant to the throne of David in his messianic kingdom. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 9 says in part, see the stone, referring to the Messiah. He will be a rejected stone, a stone of stumbling to Israel, a stone of refuge, a destroying stone, and a foundation stone. Verse 9 says in part, seven eyes on that one stone figuratively means that he is all-seeing, all-knowing in his infinite omniscience. Verse 9 says in part, and I will engrave an inscription on it, that is, on the stone. This possibly could refer to an engraving on the cornerstone of the temple, attesting to the divine builder and purpose for which the building was erected, according to John MacArthur, another fine expositor of Scripture. In verse 9, it ends with, I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. So the one known as the servant, the branch, and the stone will fulfill the high priestly function, removing sin of this land in a single day. This land may be focusing here on Israel, which would be then the referring to the yet future day prophesied in Zechariah chapter 12 and verses 10 through chapter 13 and verse 1. Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1 says, on that day a foundation will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. Of course, this would not be possible without the removal of sin, effectual through repentant faith on a single day by Messiah on a Roman cross at Golgotha. Unlike the high priest Joshua, Jesus Christ offered himself a perfect sacrifice once and for all. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 10. In that day, each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under a vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty. This terminology was a common expression in Israel for peace and prosperity. Consider, for example, Micah chapter 4 and verse 4. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. This was not to be consistently sustainable in Israel until the Prince of Peace comes to rule in his messianic millennial reign. James Montgomery Boyce, another fine expositor of Scripture, writes, quote, only on the basis of Jesus' sacrifice can anyone properly sit under his vine and fig tree, enjoying the blessing of this life, as the last verse of the chapter reminds us. If we are not justified, prosperity is a fatal illusion. It tempts us to believe that all is well when all is not well. It lures us to the fires of hell. It is only when we are justified that we conceive these things as having come to us from the hands of God and praise Him for them. End of quote. So we must seriously ask ourselves, have we been justified through repentant faith in Christ, or are we just sitting in the shade thinking all is well with our soul?
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for Him to have His way with thee. Would you have Him make you free and follow at His call?
Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you need never fall? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you in his kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true each providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee.
God has blessed us with an important lesson from his word. We pray that you are a Christian, faithfully serving the Lord. If you are not yet a Christian, please understand that you must first truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sins and was resurrected as well. You need to also confess this belief before others, repent of sin, and be baptized by immersion into water. If we can help you with your decision for Christ, please write to us. To receive a free CD of this and next week's program, request broadcast number 1933. That's 1933. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.